This is a Mortarbox Media podcast. For more podcasts and to learn how we can help you create your own, visit mortarboxmedia.com.
Welcome once again to Chill Filtered. I am your host, Adam Rosted. Today, Cole is not here, and it's only a video podcast today, and it's one of our limited releases. It's our only, and I should say, it's our first limited release. But before we get to what we're doing today on the limited release, let's get down to a little bit of business. If you're listening to this, it means you've listened to the podcast before. Please leave us a rating and a review on iTunes or Apple Podcasts app. And also go to patreon.com/chillfiltered if you want to play a bigger part in the show financially. You can do things like pledge money. And when you become a Patreon, you can get access to these things. As you know already, you're accessing this, but you get access to our limited releases. That's the business. Here's the video podcast. Today on the show, real quick, what we're going to do, I'm showing you right now on video, these are the two whiskeys we're drinking. We're going to drink Kentucky Owl, which is a 11-year rye, and it's batch number 2, and then we're also going to be drinking Yellow Spot, which is a 12-year Irish whiskey, and I'm really excited to be doing this today with my good friend, Ryan Hack, who's, like I said, a good friend of mine, and sorry, Ryan, I'm trying to get this set up here real quick. Ryan is, like I said, a good friend of mine, know him from church, but also know him from some of the other podcasts that I do, and Ryan is just a funny guy who, is I don't know, missing
I'm
like an arm.
Waiting for what you're gonna say.
I was gonna say he's
very attractive. He's not tall, but he's not short.
That's right, and he's got a great right arm.
Don't sell the left one short.
I mean, here's
hey-o. Oh, there it is.
Here's the thing: is like, I feel like I'm remiss if I don't mention it at all.
Right.
But to mention it is kind of like the asshole move. You know what I mean?
Although it would be fun not to mention it and then for me to tell stories about it without prior knowledge. So people are like, wait, what? What is he talking? What's happening? So what's wrong with this?
Well, unfortunately, you can't do this on this episode. Do that on this, because we got video.
You
so
probably didn't even need to say it, but there it is.
So I don't know, just right off the bat, can you mention maybe why you're missing your left arm?
Sure. Let's see which story to go with today.
Well, so first of all, can we talk about, you know, we've talked about this on my other podcast, Madison Story Slam, but one of my favorite things about your your missing left arm is thank you for your service. Right. Yeah, that's true. It's not because you were in the military, but you have heard thank you for your service because of it.
Correct. Yes. I was never in the military. And even when I was 13, 14 years old, that was kind of the genesis of this, where I'd be somewhere in public and someone would say, thank you for your service.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, what war could I even have been in? I'm 13. I can't even drive. Like, I can't do anything. Like, how old do you think I am? I mean, I did have a full beard. No, I didn't.
Of course. Ryan, do me a favor and just bring that microphone a little bit up more towards your mouth there.
There we go.
Yeah.
Aha. Eat it. Eat that mic.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. I went to school for radio.
Did you really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. No.
Oh, yeah.
I had no idea.
I worked in radio for, I went in 97, went to Brown College in Minnesota.
Yeah.
And then I came back. I worked for 1310 WIBA.
The AM station?
AM station.
Yeah, here in Madison.
Worked overnights until it was like,
yeah, you have a decent radio voice.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed it.
I bet
it.
Even if you tried a little harder, you get that real like, hey, it's 1310.
That's true. Oh, I could absolutely do that.
Yeah. You know, one of my podcasts is actually on the radio here in Madison.
Oh, nice.
It's on the FM station 97.1.
Perfect.
And the the radio call sign is 97X Madison, or Wisconsin Positive Hits. So right. Every time I do the podcast and I mention it, I'm like, it's 97X Wisconsin's Positive Hits.
97X Wisconsin's Positive Hits.
That's exactly right.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. No, I did that for a while. I came back and I don't know. I probably did it for about a year and a half. And then it got to a point where I was like, I would work overnight and then the next guy wouldn't show up. And I'd be like, you know what? I'm not getting paid enough, and this is not fun enough for me to be here for 20 straight hours.
Yeah.
Talking. But so one of the things that happened that I just thought was so funny was on Friday nights in Wisconsin, it's like sports nights. So high school sports, football, all that stuff's going on. So people would call in scores, right? Sure. And so, the phone flashes, and I'd pick it up, and I'd get the sports, because then I would do the local sports every quarter hour or whatever. And I'd be saying the sports and doing the scores, and Memorial beats Verona 34-28.
Abundant Life. Exactly. Sacred Hearts from Sun Prairie.
Exactly. Sun Prairie falls to McFarland. And, doing all this stuff. So then this one night, this guy calls, and he's like, you just gave a score for whoever it was. Let's say Memorial. You just gave a score for Memorial. They're not even playing. And I was like, I'm sorry, what? I was like, I got a call in with the score. And he's like, yeah, they don't even play this week. It's a bye week. And I was like, oh my gosh. Okay, I don't know what's going on.
How did
they
make this
mistake? So then I asked one of the guys that works with me, and I can't remember her name, but I'll just say it was Angie. Just say it. I was like, yeah, this lady keeps calling up and giving me scores, and this guy's saying that they're not even playing. And he just looks at me, he's like, Angie? And I was like, yeah? He's like, nobody told you about Angie?
She strikes again.
He's like, yeah, she calls up all the time and just gives fake scores. Like, we don't know what her deal is. Like, we don't know if she thinks she's funny. But,
I mean, that is funny.
Right. And I was just like, how many times have I given out just completely made up scores for games that didn't exist? And I just never knew it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Hey, Ryan, if you do me a favor, if you reach behind you here on that black cube that's back there behind you, you see your book sitting there?
Oh, yeah.
That green thing. If you just pull that out real quick, because I want my listeners to know who you are and what you have to offer. I love what you do as a motivational speaker, as an author, and I'll let you get your headphones back on there. But I love what you're doing with your career and all that. And I know, like we've mentioned, mm-hmm. you have a difference,
right?
In the way your body was formed.
Physical appearance.
Yeah, right.
Right.
And I just figured it might be good if you want to hold that book up to your camera here. You can tell people a little bit about what you do. The book is called "Different Is Awesome." Mm-hmm. Ryan, you wrote it, so it's by Ryan Hack. And again, who are the pictures by? Wes
Mulbash.
Yes. Yeah,
he lives in Ohio. Super excited for him, actually. He has a project that he has an agent for now that's being pitched, which is really cool. But I've known him for a long time and was super grateful that he was able to illustrate the book and bring it to life.
Yeah.
And that was in 2015 is actually when the book came out.
And you're now in your second edition of it? Is that right?
Third, actually.
Third edition. Yep. Okay. Yep.
And I actually need to check with them. I have a bunch of things coming up in January. That I'm going to need more books for.
Yeah.
And so I need to see how many I actually have.
So right tell now. Us a little bit about, like, why this book, what's it about, and what's your goal with it?
Sure. So to back up a little bit, I was born this way. So
like that's Lady Gaga.
Right. Exactly. Which I have a lawsuit in progress right now with her camp about that. No, I don't actually. But
it would
be
nice, wouldn't it?
It just give me some credit here. I was born this way with one hand, and it really didn't make a difference in my life for most of my life until I was probably in my 30s is when I really thought about how can I actually help people intentionally. Because I was always comfortable with myself. Obviously, I have a lot of fun with it. I have a sense of humor. I think that's what I use to kind of diffuse the awkwardness of when I meet people. I totally get they don't exactly know what to do. They don't know. They know not to stare, but should they ask about it? Should they not? Like that whole thing that you said, like, do I bring it up or not? I don't know. And I realize that that's an uncomfortable place to be. And so if I can make you more uncomfortable, then I'll do that.
Sure.
And then I'll snap my finger and make everything go away.
Yeah.
But this is one of the things that you know, I started a website and I had a podcast myself, just interviewing people that I thought that were different in some way and that I thought was, they were inspiring, and that I admired them and I wanted to talk to them and make videos about how I do things. And they're always funny. Just want to make people laugh, but also to see how I do things and that there's a way to do them. And the, you know, I get emails all the time from parents and grandparents and teachers of kids who have differences who are just like, you know, we were worried about their life, about how they're going to be able to do things, if they could do things. And now we see that they're going to be okay.
Yeah.
That we see that there's a way to do it. Because my, you know, I'm not instructing anyone. I'm just kind of showing them that there's a way. And so yeah. A kid's going to figure things out. They want to do something, they'll figure it out. And so the book kind of came to be because one of my younger brothers, Joey, actually brought me for show and tell one year.
I love that part of this. Great.
Right. And I didn't think, I'm trying to think back because it was so long ago. And people ask me all the time, like, you know, because the first reaction is that you laugh about it.
Sure.
And you're like, oh my gosh, that's so funny. And I think I thought it was just like a normal thing. I don't think I cared at all.
Sure.
I was just like, all right, cool, man. I'll be there. And so I went and they all asked me questions and stuff. And so the book itself kind of retells that story. A little bit kid brings his older brother to class and then they all ask him questions about how he does things. With one hand, and you realize along the way, each of the kids who are asking him questions have something different as well. Whether it's they're tall or short, or they have glasses, or they have freckles, or you know whatever it is. The point is that we're all different in some way or another. Mine happens to be more noticeable than others, but we all are different in some way, and that's something to celebrate.
To celebrate, and yeah. I think yeah. that's the mm-hmm. obviously you know that is the main point of this is that
right.
our differences is what make us awesome.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. I wonder if you'd share a more recent story about you just discovered the Facebook messages requests section
right.
of the messages part on Facebook, and you
right.
and you got somebody who messaged you. It seemed like 3 years ago that they
that
messaged you or so.
Yeah,
and just talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. So yeah, you're right. I had someone who. I was part of a Facebook group, and they said, hey, I just sent you a message, and we weren't friends, and so I was like, oh, that's interesting. So then I went to the messenger thing, and I saw this request from them, and I was like, oh, well, that's interesting. I didn't know that existed. And so I went and clicked on the little gear thing for the settings and
yeah.
saw, oh, requests. I was like, interesting. So I saw that in January of 2016, so nearly two and a half years ago.
Yeah.
This lady had sent me a message and was like, hey, we're moving to the Madison area, which is where I live, and our daughter has one hand, and we're just wondering if there are any, like, groups available, or, you know, do you have any advice, blah, blah, blah. Like, just, those are the kinds of messages I get all the time.
Let me ask you this. You see this message 3 years later.
Right.
Do you feel a sense of like failure?
Oh, absolutely.
That you didn't see it right
away? I was mortified.
Oh, I let them down.
Yep. I was like, well, she hates me.
Yeah.
I was like, this is the worst. Like they've lived in my town for years.
She wrote this message yeah. and she's like, oh, he'll help me. And then it's just come back. Oh, he's this,
yeah.
this well-to-do children's mm-hmm. author who doesn't care
right.
about his fans.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I was just like, this is the worst. Like I'm a sensitive guy anyway, and like I really take that stuff personally. Like
yeah.
it means a lot to me to be able to help people. Because there was another one like that I can tell too. The people who lived in my old neighborhood. I don't know if you saw that one, but this one I did actually respond to her, and I was just like, I am so sorry.
Please forgive me.
I did. I said I'm asking you to forgive me, and she was like, I mean, I figured you were probably pretty busy. And I was like, yeah, but for 3 years, I wasn't years
like
worth of busy.
Every 3-4 weeks, you'd come across it again and be like, oh, well, I could write back on this one, but maybe next week.
It's on my to-do list. But yeah, it was actually super funny because we had a really great conversation. And then I found out they actually moved less than an hour away from here. But her daughter started at a new school and they had my book, but they lost it in the move. And she was really upset, you know. And I was like, well, let's fix that. What's
yeah.
your address? I'll send you an autographed copy. And she was like, oh my gosh, so great. And so now I'm in talks to go do an assembly at her school. And like, it's great. It was, it turned out so much better than I thought. She even said something like, I really appreciate you getting back to me. Most people would have been mortified and just would not would have responded. I was like, oh no, no, I was mortified. I was very close to just deleting it because I was like, they're probably fine. They probably don't like me, blah, 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 whatever.
Yeah.
But I still felt like I need to reach out and cause I had this other one where, I can't remember now exactly what happened. It was like a mutual friend that we had or something. And I knew that they lived near me. I don't know where, but we got talking and I was like, hey, how close? Oh, well, that's what it was. So her husband works at a hospital within the health system that I work in.
Sure.
So I was like, oh, I bet you they must live kind of close because he had seen me speak like 2 years ago. And then they had a baby who had one hand, and they didn't know they didn't know their baby was gonna have one hand until he was born, mm-hmm. and because it didn't show up in the ultrasound and stuff, so they kind of freaked out, and the people at the hospital were terrible with how they handled it, and they were just like, "Oh, sorry, good luck." Basically, is how it turned out.
Do you think that's how most of those situations are handled?
They shouldn't. I mean, it's 2018.
Yeah.
Like, here's my thing. What she said was, the baby came out. The first thing they heard was...
Well, thank God for that.
The baby came out, yep. Just so we're all on the same page. She said the first thing she heard was the nurse say, what's wrong with its arm?
Ooh.
That was the first thing that she heard.
That's a weird...
About her baby, right? But, and then the doctor just apologized and left the room.
Is that not something you would see on an ultrasound?
Well, yeah. I mean, you would think. In this case, they didn't.
Okay.
And so that it's interesting. I've heard that a number of times where people just didn't.
Sure.
It just didn't show up.
They weren't prepared for it.
Because it depends on how the baby's situated
and yeah.
how the person looks
you
at it.
You would think that a nurse would have more decorum.
So here's my thing.
Than to say that
correct.
Right out the bat.
Like, you need... Here's my thought. I'm not a doctor. I get it. I work in...
Oh, shit. Why did I even have you on here?
Right. That's true. I mean, I stayed at a Holiday Inn last night. I would punch myself in the face if I heard myself say that for real. But my thing is, if you are a professional in the health field, you're delivering babies, you should be prepared for anything.
Anything.
Anything that happens,
yeah.
you should be... The first words you should
Maybe
say
Maybe she
is,
was a young nurse.
Right. We don't know the situation.
Yeah.
But I just felt terrible for them to be... Put in that situation where it was like, what? Like, what's wrong? You know, whatever. And not really know. But anyway, he remembered seeing me. And then they looked me up and found me. And so she sent me a message. And I was like, you know, where do you guys live? Are you close to the Madison area? And she says the town where they live, which is the town where I live. And then I was like, well, that's crazy. So I said, where are you guys at? I tell her, I give her kind of a landmark for where I am. She tells me the neighborhood she's in, and it's the neighborhood I grew up in. And I'm like, you can't be serious right
yeah.
now. Then she tells me the road she lives on, it was the road I lived on when I grew up. And I'm like, this is insane. So literally the next day, I went to their house, and I got to hang out with them. And I turn onto the road that I lived on. I had explained to her which house I lived in. And I'm driving past my old house, right? And I was texting, or I was voice texting my wife, and I pulled over.
Nice cover.
I literally was. It actually is part of the story. I can prove it.
I don't know that you can prove that you're voice texting.
No, I can prove it. But it is part of the story, because so I'm voice texting her, right? I pull over right past my old house, past the driveway. This person pulls up right next to me, and I'm like kind of motioning for them to go around. And she just stays there. So I put my window down. Meanwhile, I have my phone still like in the voice to text mode, right?
And she's like, I can see you have one arm. I think you're the guy I'm looking for.
No, she says, I'm sorry. I thought you were someone else. Someone's coming to pick up my daughter. I actually live in this house.
Oh.
And I was like, you do, huh? That's funny. Because I actually lived in this house for like a dozen years. And then I was like, but I'm not being a creep.
Yeah.
I'm actually texting my wife.
I'm not just sitting out here looking at my old house. So longing for the chance to get in again.
So the great part was my phone was capturing only my side of the conversation. Sure. And so I was like, well, I could delete this or just send it to my wife and have her be like, what am I looking at?
Right.
So I sent it to her and it was fantastic. She was like, what is this? I have no idea what you're talking about. So I had to explain it later. Yeah. But yeah, it was just cool how that stuff kind of, you know, so we went and hung out and I'm in my old neighborhood and I'm next to my house. Like, it was just bizarre how those things work out.
Yeah.
So it was pretty cool.
So Ryan, real quick, can you tell our listeners at Chill Filtered, if they're interested in the book and what you're doing with the book, how can they find it?
Sure. So if you go to livingonehanded.com, pretty straightforward, livingonehanded.com, it's probably the best place to go. I do a lot of stuff on Facebook and Instagram. So it's just Facebook and Instagram /livingonehanded.
Yeah.
That's both of the names for it. I'm on Twitter too.
@livingonehanded.
@livingonehanded. Yeah. Yep. So those are the places that they can find me.
Well, very cool. I love the book. I've read through it a couple times. You nice. Were kind enough to sign a copy for me and give it to me.
Oh, yeah.
I actually kind of demanded it from you.
Yeah, that's right.
Which I've always kind of felt bad about because I let you sell it at StorySign once. That's right. And I was like, I think you've sold enough that you can just give me one.
Just give me one and sign it. Now, you did give me a crap ton of beer after that. So
that's true.
I feel like it was an even exchange.
That's true. So, Ryan, it's Chill Filtered. It's a podcast where we drink and talk about whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
And what is your you know, relation with whiskey. I know that you like alcohol. You're mm-hmm. from Wisconsin, so it's just a given.
Right. It's part of the
But whiskey in particular, kind of what have you I don't know, what have you done with whiskey, I guess, is maybe the
question. I mean, usually I drink it.
Oh, that's true.
Typically.
But what's your familiarity with whiskey?
You know, I'm actually excited to be on this because I feel like you know a billion times more than I do. So I'm probably going to have more questions than I do answers for those things. But I do enjoy it. I remember I went to, I always have it neat. I do remember going to the piano bar one time. And for some reason, I was like caught up in what was going on. And I ordered a drink on the rocks. And they gave it to me. And I was like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
Why is this in here? And I, you know, if you like it that way, great. But for me, just give it to me straight.
Neat. Chill Filtered, we typically, on this episode, we're only going to be drinking it neat.
Yeah.
But typically on an episode, we will also have a dropper of distilled water,
mm-hmm.
and we will also have ice cubes. I just didn't prepare any of that this time.
Right.
Just to try it all ways.
Sure.
These two whiskeys will eventually be on the regular podcast. Mm-hmm. This is just a... what we call a limited release for the Patreon subscribers.
Yeah.
So eventually this will be on the regular podcast with all these things. But on this episode, we're just going to have it neat. Real quick, I'll show the video listeners what we've got here. So we've got Yellow Spot, which is an Irish whiskey, which if I'm not mistaken, I think you can get it between $130 and $150. Typically, in your local liquor store. I got this from my local liquor store for about $140. And then the Kentucky Owl is a rye whiskey. It's an 11-year rye whiskey. It's their batch number 2. Their batch number 1 was, I want to say, around $150 or $160. Batch number 2, even though it's a lower proofage, it's still a rye, but it's $210 is the suggested retail price of that. And it's the best whiskey I've ever had.
Yep.
So I am going to give you a treat with both of these whiskeys today. So that's what we're going to drink.
Cool.
What do you want to start with? Are you familiar with rye? Are you familiar with
I like rye.
An Irish?
I'm familiar with both.
So
I say let's go with the rye first.
We're going to start with the Irish first. Because I can tell you the rye is way better than the Irish. So we're going to start with this Irish. And even though I just showed it on the camera, I'll show it on the camera that's looking at me. This is the Yellow Spot Irish. It's a single pot still Irish whiskey. It's aged 12 years. It says 3-cask maturation. Bourbon, sherry, and Malaga, non-chill filtered. I'm not quite sure what all that means. You know, you just said that you think I'm going to know more than you do. I am the layman on this podcast. Nice. You know, normally my good friend Cole is the co-host on this podcast. He is camping right now, so he's not able to be here today. So normally he's the one who really knows a lot more than I do.
Hmm.
But here's one thing that we always like to do on podcast as we're tasting a whiskey, we like to hear this. Ooh, that's a nice little sound.
You have to hear it.
So this is an Irish. I'm always pretty generous with my pours. So if I'm too generous, don't feel bad about not drinking all of it. Ooh, that's a generous pour right there. That is a generous pour of the yellow spot. There we go. They're both pretty generous pours, so I'll hand you one of these. Perfect. This is the yellow spot. It is an Irish, like I said, aged 12 years. And be listeners, be looking for this on the regular podcast soon. But right now on this this limited release. So are you familiar with the best way to drink whiskey?
No.
So what we always talk about
with
is...
my mouth.
Yes, that's true. Talk about priming the pump. And the way you prime the pump is you smell it. You give that good...
Right.
Good smell. Do you get any specific notes on the nose? So with whiskey, you're going to talk about the nose, the palate, and the finish, or what I like to call the afterbirth. So for me, on the nose... I get a pretty strong alcohol smell.
Yes, that's what I was getting to.
But with a hint of caramel and just a little bit of that sweet kind of bourbony smell, which is not super typical of an Irish from my experience. Do you get any specific notes that remind you of anything?
Fresh tennis balls.
You know what?
Black licorice.
I definitely get black licorice for sure.
I was going to say it does, after doing it for a while, it does, I do get some sweetness.
Yes.
For sure.
And an Irish is pretty sweet. So let me tell you how to taste a whiskey properly.
Yeah.
A lot of people say they don't like whiskey because they'll take a drink of it and they'll breathe right away. And they'll say that it burns their tongue. Mm-hmm. And that's 100% accurate, because if you put whiskey in your mouth and then take a breath right away, it's alcohol. So it's the oxygen breathing in is evaporating off your tongue and causing the burn. So what you want to do is you want to give it that smell. And that's kind of priming the pump, saying, hey, we're getting ready to taste certain flavors. And then before you actually take a drink, you're going to breathe in and hold it. And then while you're holding your breath, you'll take that drink of whiskey, and then you can kind of move it around in your mouth to get all the flavors that you can. Mm-hmm. Swallow that drink and hold your breath still for a little while. And then finally, after 4 to 5 seconds, you can breathe out and start breathing normally again. And that should dissipate any of the intense burning that you would normally get.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can actually taste the flavors that are coming out of the whiskey.
Nice.
It's what Cole and I on the podcast call the method.
Yeah.
Not everybody goes by that method, but it's a pretty good method for somebody who is not used to drinking strong drink a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to let you take a drink if you want.
Sure.
Try the method.
Yeah.
You know, sniff it once more time. Hold your breath, take a drink. Tell me what you are getting out of the flavor of this whiskey.
Sure.
And as you're doing that, I'll kind of keep talking.
Great.
So you can, the Yellow Spot is the Irish whiskey. They also have Green Spot, which is another Irish whiskey. And I think Green Spot is around $110. I'm sorry if I'm wrong. Yellow Spot, I think it's around $140. Yellow Spot is a great Irish whiskey. One of my favorite Irish whiskeys is the Redbreast Cask Strength 12-year. Ryan, you just took a drink and you're immediately drinking some water, so it kind of gives me a bad vibe here. But what do you think of that first sip of it? Oh, he's coughing. He's coughing from the drink
now,
as well.
Full disclosure, I told Adam this before I came. I've actually been sick for like a week, so I've been coughing. So that was the only thing. I felt like I was going to cough a lot all of a sudden. It's got a good flavor. I would say like the kind of the caramel that you said, I think there's like that sweetness that you kind of get. It almost felt, I don't know how to describe it. Like it not slimy. That's a bad word for it, but it was almost like there was like a film almost.
Okay. Like, yeah. That would be the finish of it.
Yeah. So I mean, it was a good taste.
So here's what my recommendation would be for you. Have another drink of it.
Yeah.
let it settle for a while, and then before you drink water again, have another drink of it.
Okay.
And that will help you decide what the flavors actually are on this whiskey. So nice. I'm going to take another quick drink. I haven't had any water since my first, but I definitely get that caramel taste that you're talking about.
Right. Yeah, I'm really smelling it now.
Oh, I think it's so good, though.
Yeah.
I think it's real smooth, and this is definitely a whiskey that I could sip over a long period of time and just really enjoy it over conversation. And I think I definitely poured too much for us today, but it is what it is.
Yeah. Okay, so my second one was easier than the first.
Yeah.
Do it again here.
Now, let me ask you this, Ryan. Does having a missing part of your arm lower your inhibitions for alcohol? Like, do you get drunker faster because you don't have as much blood in your body? I think I've asked you this before.
I don't think you have.
No, I think I did. You were on Madison Story Slam podcast, and I asked you that, and you said you would ask your doctor the next time.
Did I? I might have been drunk. I don't know. I don't remember that. But I'm pretty sure that that's true. I do know that I asked my college psychology professor. We're going through talking about the brain.
Yeah.
And he was explaining how our hands are like the most intricate part of our body and use the most brain power. And so I asked him, you know, since I don't have my left hand, do you think my brain kind of reallocated all that energy, which explains why I'm so smart? And he just looked at me and went, I don't know, sure. And I was like, got it. Nailed perfect. It. Yep, I knew it.
That's exactly what I wanted to hear.
Yeah, no. Yeah, it is. It's definitely very good.
I was going to say, it's very good.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of, this one is, has always been kind of hard for me to nail down exact flavors.
Yeah.
It's, I would just say that it is very good. Its color is kind of a dark blonde. It's definitely not really red like some whiskeys can be, especially cask strength whiskey. Oh. This is not a cask strength. It's kind of a dark blonde. You can tell it is not chill filtered because you can kind of see some of those particulates in it, especially when you swirl it around the glass. You can kind of see them floating around in there. It's very good. I would say as far as Irishes go, I don't know how familiar you are with Irish whiskeys. Maybe for sure you're probably familiar with Jameson,
right?
If Jameson is a 5, I would say this is about a 7.8. As far as a rating go,
7 or 8.
It's very good. It's very tasty. It's as an Irish, it's different enough. So one of the things we say on the show is that all Irishes have a little bit of Jameson in them. That this is the one word that I can't say. Familiarity.
Familiarity.
97.1,
familiarity.
And no. It's got some of that familiarity in it, but it's different enough that it's more enjoyable. It's definitely a higher class whiskey than what Jameson would be.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, all right, so I've taken a couple more drinks of it now that we've been talking. And like I think this is pretty common with any high octane alcohol that you're drinking. Like the first drink is always the hardest one.
And then
the first sip is always the most
difficult. Keep talking. I'm going to try and look up the proofage here on this.
Yeah. I mean, it's just one of those things where I think, like you said, you're priming the pump, your mouth, your tongue needs to get used to it. And I think that first one is always kind of like, oh yeah, this is what this is.
Yeah.
But every sip since then has been smooth. Tastes great. It really doesn't burn. I mean, obviously, there's some
burn because it's alcohol.
But it doesn't inhibit you from, you know, having a conversation or,
yeah.
You know, I haven't felt the need to
drink water. You can drink this straight. Yeah. Yeah. You can drink this straight with a friend and still continue the good conversation you have.
For sure.
So it is a 92 proof or a 46% alcohol by volume whiskey. Mm-hmm. So it's not the hottest whiskey that I've ever had. I actually prefer a hotter whiskey.
Right.
My favorite whiskey is about 126.9 proof, I think is what it is. Or no, I'm sorry, 119.6.
Mine's like 150, 660.
And what is the name of that whiskey?
It's Melon
Ryan
Malignac McGillicuddy
whiskey.
It's kind of like a hybrid Irish rye
Scotch bourbon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, right. It's very rare.
That's right.
I was at a bar not too long ago, and the bartender was hilarious. And he goes, "Hey, you want a very rare whiskey?" And I was like, "Yeah, sure, that sounds great." And so he brings it out, and the bottle literally said on it, "Very rare whiskey."
Oh, I've heard of it. Yeah.
And then he was like,
"Are you sure it was very rare, or was it very old?"
No, this one was very rare.
Okay.
Yep. And he was like, "I can't give this stuff away. It's garbage." it was terrible, but it was just super funny that it was literally called very rare.
Mm-hmm.
It was good stuff.
So I've had my last sip of that. I still have some more in the glass, but I think we should move on to the next one. Let me just cleanse my palate here real quick. With PBR, the ultimate palate cleanser.
I'm in.
Our next whiskey that we're drinking is the Kentucky Owl 11-Year Rye Batch Number 2. This whiskey is a $210 whiskey. That's what it's retailing for. As we always say on the podcast, you can usually find it for between $10 to $20, give or take, on either end.
Sure.
This is the best whiskey I've had.
Nice. Oh, is this the 116er or whatever it was?
No, not at all. this is actually 101.8 proof, which is actually batch number one was a higher proofage. They have dropped some proof points on here. So it's 101.8 or 50.9% alcohol by volume.
Sure.
And here is our little cork sound. We just love that sound here on the show. So I'm going to be much more sparing with this because of how this is an ultra allocated bottle.
What does that mean?
It means that, Yellow Spot, you can go into any liquor store and find Yellow Spot.
Okay.
As an ultra allocated bottle, Kentucky Owl Rye Batch Number 2, every liquor store only got so many, and most liquor stores probably got none.
Yeah, right.
So I was fortunate enough to be a big enough spender at a certain liquor store that when this came in, they were like, "You probably want this, so we should call you and get it."
Yeah, it makes sense.
So
it's similar to I'm a record collector.
Yes.
And so, like, every year there's something called Record Store Day. And so there's, you know, most of it is limited release. And so, you know, you have some stores in some areas of the country that don't get any of them. And then you have, you know, here in Madison, we have a place called Strictly Discs. And they always seem to have a lot of them because they're a bigger, you know, they know what they want. They know what they need to get.
Yeah.
And they go that way. So kind of a similar
type of thing. Very much so. All right. So I'll give you some of this. Savor this.
Fine.
Because it is, this is candy.
Nice.
This is so good. Give it a good whiff there. You can kind of see what it smells like, what the notes on the nose are reminding you of.
Can already see that it's darker.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely, I'll hold this up to my camera here. It's definitely a darker hue here. More of a red coloring to that. As opposed to the Yellow Spot Irish, which is more of a darker blonde. Still a darker blonde, but it's still a blonde. This is much more of a red coloring.
Well, I was going to say, even the Yellow Spot before, when it was next to that, it looked a little bit red, but it was because of what was coming through with the Kentucky.
Absolutely. What do you get anything on the smell of this Kentucky Owl here?
Oh, I'm terrible at describing smells.
It's okay. You're also new to this finer point of whiskey.
That's true. It's weird, though, when you're an author and, like, words are your life. And then you can't, your brain is like,
yeah,
it smells like things.
I like the way it smells.
It smells good.
It's delicious.
It's like, you know how flowers smell good? It smells not like flowers, but good, like flowers smell good.
Can I just say that the nose, the pleasant nose is pleasant.
My nose likes it. Is that good?
It's kind of, for me, I would say it's like a muted floral smell.
It's definitely not as powerful as the yellow
sharp.
Spot.
It's not as sharp.
Yep.
Yeah. It's definitely Which is interesting one. Because the yellow spot is not as high mm-hmm. proof right. as the Kentucky Owl.
Yeah, I mean, that one, we both right away were like, wow, that's oak. That's
and alcohol. As a rye, a rye tends to be more spicy. Than an Irish or a bourbon would be.
Okay.
So you would think that a rye would have more of a bite, especially to the taste. I'm not sure on the taste compared to the yellow spot. But on the nose here, mm-hmm. you're definitely right. It's not as sharp.
No. Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the common flavors or the common notes that I get on the nose is just the alcohol smell.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay to get that note right. on a whiskey because that's what it is, alcohol. But again,
even here though, it's nothing compared to the yellow spot.
Yeah. And again, I get that kind of muted floral note, but mm-hmm. but I also get, this is one of my favorite notes to get is kind of a Granny Smith apple. Kind of a caramel Granny Smith apple.
I could see that. Yep.
So why don't you go ahead and give it a taste, see what you think. I'll continue talking about it. Again, this is a non-chill filtered whiskey, so you can see some of the particulates floating in it. It's aged 11 years, which is great for a rye. You don't see a lot of ryes aged this long. And if you do, I don't think this is barrel or cask strength. It is for sure. It's a small batch. It's not cask strength, but you really don't see ryes often aged this long. One of the other ryes that's aged towards this age would be the Knob Creek cask strength, which is 9 years or so. Hmm. That's one of my favorite whiskeys. But what do you think on that taste?
I mean, it's definitely different than Yellow Spot. Like it was surprising how different it was, I think. Let me take another drink of it here. I mean, it's definitely...
I'm getting a bite on it.
Yeah, I was going to say...
That I wasn't expecting.
It bit more... Like, I think I got used to the yellow spot.
Yeah, I think you need to hold your breath a little bit longer with mm-hmm. it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But, I mean, by the third or fourth sip of the yellow spot, it was like... It wasn't really doing anything.
Yeah.
And this one, you'd think I'd be used to it, and I'm not. It's almost like a...
It's very rich.
There's almost like a toffee.
Oh, yes. That's a great note on this one.
Mm-hmm. Because I was going to say, it's not caramel, but it's similar. And I don't know, toffee for some reason.
Yes, for sure toffee. It's very good. It's very rich, especially if you drink it right. It's a very thick whiskey.
Absolutely.
That afterbirth or the finish is very thick. It stays thick until it's finally out of your mouth.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
There's never a moment with this for Kentucky Owl Batch 2. There's never a moment that you drink this and you think, you know, I could have used a little more of this. It's kind of like, for me at least,
mm-hmm.
it's kind of all around perfect for what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's got great flavor. That kind of changes from the nose to the palate to the finish. So you're getting a lot of these great flavors that come into it that are different. And there's never one thing about it that you go, ooh, I wish that wasn't in there.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. Yeah, I would say on the whole for me, I definitely do beer more than I do whiskey. And so when I'm doing kind of the craft, you know, higher alcohol content beers, you always... It's always that dangerous thing where you're like, this is a 12%, but it's so smooth. And that's very much what this is like.
Ale Asylum Mercy Grand Cru is 12%.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. One of, you know, just one of those, like, is it Capitol Autumnal Fire?
Man, I'm sorry, but my third drink of that,
yeah,
of that Kentucky Owl, is the best I've had all day.
Yeah. All right. Well, I've got, here's my, I don't know if this is my third or fourth. I think it's my third.
It's very good. Oh, man.
It really does. I mean, you said it was candy. It really does smell like candy now.
Oh, yeah. It's, you know this is definitely something, the amount that I poured for each of us, this is something that probably that amount is best to sip over an hour or so. Not 10, 15 minutes like we're doing right. It right now.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, I'm not upset. I'm not upset about how fast we've had right. This.
No. I mean, it was for a purpose.
Mm.
We had a reason for it. No, yeah, I agree. I think it's, oh yeah. If you had a...
The more you drink it, the easier it is to drink, like most whiskeys.
Oh yeah.
And the easier it is to pick out flavors and it's just so good.
Yeah,
I think this is my favorite whiskey.
Yeah.
For sure.
Nice.
Out of, you know, I have about a 22, I started collecting bottles of whiskey in July.
Sure.
I currently have like a 23, 24 bottle collection.
Mm-hmm.
This is for sure the pinnacle of my collection at this nice. Point.
Yeah.
I have some really expensive bottles and this is the most expensive bottle, but it just also happens to be the best bottle.
Yeah. So what are the, you had mentioned that the first batch was less expensive than the second batch.
Yeah.
It was also higher
proof
than the second. So how do they, I mean, how is that stuff determined?
That's up to them.
Yeah.
So it's just that the manufacturer retail suggested price.
All right, sure.
So batch one came out and it was a limited release. Yeah. It was ultra limited like this. People loved it.
Yeah.
And it sold out of liquor stores and then hit what's called the secondary market.
Sure.
And on the secondary market, it sold for $100, $200, $300 more than the... retail price.
Sure.
And so when this batch number two came out, it's, you know, it's not from the same barrels.
Right.
It's the same mash, but it's not the same barrels and things like that. And it's been aged the same amount of time, but just because it's been aged the same amount of time doesn't mean it's going to be tasting exactly the same. It doesn't mean the proofage is going to be exactly the same, things like that. It came out and they, you know, my best guess is that they said, okay, well, on the secondary market, people were paying this for batch number one.
Right.
I hit the camera there. and now we've got batch number two coming out.
Right.
And we think that on retail, we could get this amount that out of sense. Retail.
Sure.
So, you know, it's just like any other market where it just comes down to supply and demand.
Yeah.
They've only put out this much of batch number two, and they know from batch number one they have this much demand, so they're going to raise the price on it.
Yeah. Would you say, because I know with most things, so like, you know, like you look at some place like Starbucks or something, you know, any Starbucks you go to, your vanilla latte is going to taste the same, right? Like the consistency is a huge thing for especially food or drink products, I think. But when it comes to this stuff, would you say most whiskey connoisseurs, they're kind of understanding that, okay, they're more buying the people behind it. I mean, they're buying the product for sure, but they're saying, okay, it's understood that this other batch of this same product probably will taste differently, but I trust them enough that I know it's going to be really good. Does that make sense?
I think that most people who are into whiskey are buying it because they know that most distilleries put into their product a great deal of expertise, care, and preparation.
Yeah.
There's a lot of what whiskey is about is the traditional preparation of it and the care that goes into it.
Right.
And so that's a lot of what you're paying for.
Sure.
You know, there's a lot of great distilleries who are making great products that are aged 2 years.
Yeah.
For instance, there's a brand called Willett who actually pays for their distillate. They don't they don't create their own distillate. They don't distill their own. So whiskey off the still is called distillate.
Okay.
So they're not distilling their own unaged whiskey. They're right. buying it from a group called MGP out of Indiana. I think it's Indiana or other places. Sure. Another example of that would be Whistle Pig makes great rye whiskey.
Just they had don't, a shot of that the other night.
They don't distill. Most of their products are not from their own distillate. They buy from Canada.
Oh, okay.
And they do some mixes and that. So there's a lot of great brands that are they're putting out young whiskeys right. that are not aged a whole ton that are amazing.
Right.
Again, Whistle Pig is a great example where they have great whiskey that's not their whiskey.
Sure.
There are other brands that are doing the work of having distilled something and saying, we're going to put it in these specific barrels, these new charred oak barrels, and saying, we're going to make sure that we're going to set these aside for at least 10 years, 11 years, whatever it is, and say, we're going to make this taste like this because, or we're going to age this amount of time because this is the taste we're going for. And then they go through each of those barrels and say, this makes the cut, this doesn't make the cut, this makes the cut, this doesn't make the cut.
Right.
Even as far as Jack Daniel's.
Yeah.
Jack Daniel's has their premium label, which is just the black label.
Right.
And then they have their green label, which is not the premium label. Mm-hmm. And all that is they're all sampled from the same barrels that have been aged the same amount of time, have gone through the same process and come from the same mash bill.
Right.
And it just comes down to a group of master tasters who go barrel by barrel and say, this one is premium, this one's not. This one's premium, this one's not.
Interesting.
So a lot of it just comes down to taste.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
And preference. And you know, maybe eating a burrito that morning.
Right.
Yeah. affected how you're going to taste it.
Right.
And I actually honestly really love that about whiskey that, so I love that your book is different is awesome.
Right.
Especially on this show that we're talking about whiskey because every whiskey is different. Mm-hmm. And I honestly think that every whiskey is awesome, even within the same brand.
Yeah, sure.
So you ask me about this and how things are determined and it's all about difference.
Right.
And one of the greatest thing about whiskey is, you know, you could have tasted this Kentucky Owl and said, you know, it's just not really my flavor.
Right.
And that's because your taste buds are different than mine.
Right.
Yep. You're going to appreciate different things than I'm going to appreciate on this.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love that about whiskey, but we can find common ground on that.
Right.
So.
Yep. No, I agree. I think it makes it fun. I mean, it's, especially when you, I don't know, I'm trying to think of comparing it to other types of things. It's like if you have a favorite restaurant and you go there and you get the same thing every time, you're willing to try something else because you trust them as a restaurant. Like you trust them to say, hey, usually I get the burger.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm going to go with the fish this time because I trust that everything here is going to be really good. And sometimes it's a hit. Sometimes it's a miss. Maybe you don't like fish, so you never get that. You know, it's like this with rye and, you know, maybe you don't like ryes. Okay. Then you probably won't get that.
That's true.
You know, but you don't know if you don't taste it. And then within that, like you said, it's kind of an adventure. It's kind of exciting to be like, okay, what's this one going to be like? You know, it's the same with beer when you're like trying a wheat beer.
Yeah.
You know, it's like they're all wheat beers, but they all taste different.
Absolutely.
And so it's like, if I like the one from the Great Dane versus Capital versus a Spotted Cow versus
or any
whatever.
Other non-Madison.
I'm giving Madison references for sure. But anybody who has, you know, a wheat beer or whatever, you know, you go to a bar, hey, what do you have for a wheat beer?
Yeah.
And they give you something and it's a wheat beer, but it probably will taste different than something that you're used to.
Yep.
And it's the same with this, that if you appreciate it, that, yeah, it does taste different than the last time, or it does just taste different than this other one that I've had. But I appreciate, like you said, I appreciate what's behind it. I appreciate the taste. And
that's the main thing is going into it with the thought of, hey, I'm going to take this for what it's worth. I understand that it may not be exactly what I'm used to, but I'm open to new things. That's what whiskey is all about for me.
Yeah, right.
Being open to new things. Hey, Ryan, we are running out of time.
Nice.
I love you. I love that you wanted to do this podcast with me today. Listeners, if you want to get Ryan's book, it's called Different is Awesome. It's on the screen right now.
Nice.
You can go to livingonehanded.com. Mm-hmm. You can find Ryan's blog there. You can find the store there where you can get mm-hmm. the book and all that good stuff.
It's also on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, any place you get books. You can probably find it.
That's right. Any place. On the screen right now, you can see the two whiskeys we had today. It's the Kentucky Owl and the Yellow Spot. Kentucky Owl is a rye. Yellow Spot is an Irish. And once again, Ryan, I just want to thank you so much for coming on.
It's my pleasure.
Being a part of Chill Filtered and being willing to taste things that maybe you're not used to, but tasting things that are different
mm-hmm.
and they are awesome.
They were very awesome, and I appreciate you having me on and sharing it with me. It was awesome. It was really good.
Absolutely. I hope that you had a good time. I hope that you tasted some things that you weren't used to. But most of all, Ryan, here's what I hope.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that our love of spirits lifted yours.